This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
For you there this morning. Good morning and welcome to Freedom Works. We're going to rage for a while, especially when we get Andrew the Master Barber on a little bit later. I am Paul Malloy. Thank you for joining us, and along with my buddy and partner Big Ed Davis, we thank you very much for listening to us on this Wednesday morning, January the 29th. Wow, it's almost gone, the 29th already. We're going to be talking in a few minutes with Mark Thornton of the Ludwig von Mises Institute, and we're going to talk about the Trump economy and its relationship, intended or not, to Austrian economics. So I hope you will stay tuned for that. And Republicans now have a, I guess you could call it, Plan B in the impeachment trial over witnesses. Meanwhile, Trump is attacking John Bolton on Twitter. Boy, he really went after him. Doesn't that kind of thing, doesn't that make Trump look stupid for hiring him in the first place? We're going to talk about that a little bit with the proprietor of the Barber Pole, Andrew Ceresi. That should be fun. Stay tuned for that. And Trump unveils his Mideast peace plan regarding Israel and the Palestinians. Any good? We're going to find out. Will it work? We'll find out. We'll talk about it. And by the way, Republicans, maybe in a prequel to the November elections, they have won a key race in Texas. It may bode well towards the reelection of Donald Trump, and we will tell you why. And in our ultimate top 10, we've got what? The biggest day in NFL coming up on Sunday, Super Bowl Sunday, so why not? The top 10 greatest NFL running backs of all time. Who do you think they are? By the way, Freedom Works, we are sponsored in part by Andrew's Master Barbershop. That is the place to go, you guys, for your pre-Super Bowl haircut. You can't go to the Super Bowl party without looking good. Get your hair cut. That's the first thing. So you got to get over to Andrew's Master Barbershop. It's in Dunedin. It's the best haircut in Tampa Bay at a great price. He will give you a Super Bowl haircut. You want to cut looking like the Kansas City Chiefs? Fine. He'll give you a mohawk. You want to cut looking like the San Francisco 49ers? Fine. You'll come out of there looking like some sort of gold miner. So anything you want. Now, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That is just north of State Road 580 on Overcash Drive. Great haircut, great price. Okay. Boy, we got a lot to talk about today. Let's start with something that you're not hearing much about because of all of the impeachment noise, but Donald Trump has unveiled his Mideast peace plan. And he stood alongside Benjamin Netanyahu, who was quite happy about it, apparently, presenting a vision that matched the Israeli leader's hardline nationalist views, while at the same time possibly scaring Palestinians. His plan envisions a Palestinian state that turns over key parts of the West Bank to Israel. And Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas dismissed the plan as nonsense, says he will resist it. Meanwhile, Netanyahu calls it a historic breakthrough, equal in significance to the country's Declaration of Independence in 1948. Netanyahu calls it a great plan for Israel and a great plan for peace. And we'll see about how this all plays out. But at least Trump is trying to get something accomplished with that Mideastern situation. Since the problem's been going on for thousands of years, it doesn't look like they're going to solve it at this point. But we can always hope, right? Now, the Palestinians want all of the West Bank, and they want the east portion of Jerusalem. They believe that that should be divided between Israelis and Palestinians. Now, these were areas that were captured by Israel in 1967 in their war with the Palestinians. So we'll see where all of this goes. Netanyahu is, of course, excited about it, and he and Trump get along very well. But it's got a long road to go. But you got to give, you know, with all this stuff going on with the impeachment, you got to give Trump credit. He's trying to accomplish some things. And my goodness, it makes this whole impeachment thing seem a bit petty, doesn't it, after a while? Speaking about that, with several Democrats openly floating the possibility that they may now vote to acquit President Trump, congressional Republicans are planning a Plan B strategy in the event some of the Republicans break off and demand witnesses. There's about three or four Republicans that Majority Leader in the Senate, Mitch McConnell, is worried about, the one in Alaska, the one in Maine, and two more, the one Romney in Utah. All they need is a simple majority, 51 of the 100 senators, to get witnesses called. Now, the Republicans don't want witnesses. They want to get this thing over with. Democrats want to prolong it as long as they can, even though they know that Trump will stay in office, because it makes Trump look bad, right? And John Bolton, who is now the guy they really want to get in there, they think he's got a little vendetta with Trump, so he will be pliable to them, even though they hate him. John Bolton has never been liked by Democrats because they consider him a war hawk. In fact, Trump now is attacking John Bolton in a tweet. He says, for a guy who could not get approved for the ambassador to the UN years ago, couldn't get approved for anything since, begged me for a non-Senate approved job, which I gave him despite many saying, don't do it, sir. Takes the job, mistakenly says Libyan model on TV, and many more mistakes of judgment, gets fired, because frankly, if I listened to him, we would be in World War VI by now. What? Okay, I gotcha. You don't like him. you think he's a bit nuts. He got us into war. Why did you hire him? You know, this is the one thing about Donald Trump. And we, you know, if you listen to our show, you know that we like Donald. But he has gone after so many of the people he hired, blames them for all kinds of problems. And then you say to yourself, well, yeah, Donald, but why didn't you see this up front? You know? I mean, he's hired a lot of guys, let's be honest, even for his attorneys. They're all people that we've heard of. He always gets people that have somehow got, I guess, television persona, whatever that means, you know. And, crazy. Absolutely crazy. We're going to take our break, and hopefully Mark Thornton of the Ludwig von Mises Institute will join us.
If you knew Peggy Sue, then you'd know her. why I feel blue without Peggy, my Peggy Sue. Oh, well, I love you, Kelly, so I love you, Peggy Sue. Peggy Sue, Peggy Sue.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
The best barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They've got a beautiful new facility, but you'll still get the very best haircut from the very best hair cutters, and for a great price, too. Andrew's Master Barbershop is open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2 p.m. Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza, State Road 580 and Overcash Drive in Dunedin.
If you would like to become a wholesale buyer of the premium quality longevity product that you hear about right here on the Tantalk Radio Network for personal service, you can pick up the phone right now and call Lola at 727-441-3311. Again, that's Lola at 727-441-3311. Or for even faster service, log on to TantalkHealth.com. That's TantalkHealth.com. Here's to your health and longevity.
Hi, this is Jay Leno.
Hey, this is Ted Nugent.
Hi, everybody. This is David Hobbs.
Hi, this is Bob Varshu.
Hey, this is Danny the Count Coker.
Hey, this is comedian, author, and most importantly, vintage race car driver Adam Carolla.
Hi, this is Shirley Cha-Cha Muldowney.
I'm John Forrest.
Hey, this is Jack Roush.
And you're listening to Nostalgic Radio and Cars.
That's Nostalgic Radio and Cars with the most fascinating and legendary names in motorsports every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
Listen to the latest pet trends with benefits on the Pet Buzz every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Join pet trendologist Charlotte Reed and veterinarian Dr. Michael Fleck as they talk all things pets, from animal health and wellness, money-saving tips, celebrity gossip, breaking news, and more. Their expert guests are in the know and in the now. To learn more about this unique program and its hosts, tune into the show on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hit the road, Jack. Hey, we're back. And thank you for joining us on this Wednesday. What, 5 days before the Super Bowl? We're going to talk a little bit with Big Ed about that a little later in the show. Our buddy, Ludwig von Mises, well, he won't be here for sure. But Mark Thornton is not. We haven't got him on the line yet, and we're hoping that we will be able to reach him. He was out with a little bit of food poisoning, believe it or not, a couple of days ago, so that may be contributing to the issue right now. Hopefully we can get him. You know what live radio is like from time to time. Your guests are not available for one reason or another, but we're gonna try our best, because we would like to talk to him about what Austrian economics and the philosophy of Austrian economics and the Trump economic plan, what they have in common and what is different about them. So we'll see what we can do. In the meantime, there is a race in Texas that Republicans have won handily, closely watched. The election was yesterday. It involves a suburban Houston district that President Trump won easily 4 years ago. But this victory by Republican Gary Gates, who, by the way, put more than $1.5 million of his own money into it, it's House District 28 there, just outside of Houston, going to bring a big sigh of relief to Republicans, because it was being tracked far beyond Texas. Joe Biden and Elizabeth Warren had endorsed the Democratic candidate, Ailes Markowitz, and outside groups had flooded the race with six-figure checks and television ads for Markowitz. Beto O'Rourke, remember him? Practically made the district apparently a second home, trying to get Markowitz elected, but not to be. In fact, it wasn't that close. 58% of the vote for the GOP, Gary Gates, 42% for Ailes Markowitz. And there's always been this talk that, you know, we're going to get enough Democrats because of the Hispanic population growing and growing in Texas, that we're going to be a factor there. But this kind of shows that maybe that is not the case, especially with all the effort that the Democrats put into it. And they got a 20% turnout for, you know, and for an election like that, that's not that bad. That more than 30,000 votes were cast. So I don't know if that really makes that much difference, but apparently the Democrats thought it was going to be a big deal if they can, if they could get something going there. Also, the White House and their plans for a speedy trial might have been slowed down. If you've been following the news, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell is now saying we may not have 51 votes to block any witnesses. And at the same time, there are some Democrats that are starting to say that maybe they'll vote to acquit. So you never know how any of this is really going to play out. We all know that Trump is not going to be kicked out of office. That's for sure. It's just a matter of sullying him and running him through the mud as much as possible by the Democrats. So that everybody will have this thing on their mind when they go to vote, that Trump somehow might be, you know, a bad dude. Let's get rid of him. You know, I have a question. I have a question, though, about the logic of going after Trump and trying to impeach him. If the Obama administration was allowed to go overseas to get dirt on Donald Trump, which they did they not? They certainly did. They went after him, they surveilled him, but they went overseas to get that dossier, correct? So if the Obama administration can go overseas to get dirt on a presidential candidate, why can't Trump and his administration go overseas to get dirt on a presidential candidate? I'd like to know what the difference is. Why was Obama not impeached? But Trump is. So there's no logic to this, is there? It's all political. It's all political. I mean, you could impeach any president from Washington all the way down for doing things that aided his administration when it came to dealing with foreign governments. That's not an impeachable offense. And if you're looking for corrupt, if there's corruption going on, and by God, your former vice president was part of it, and you're dumping all kinds of money into the government over there, as in Trump dumping money into the Ukraine, why can't he not ask that they check into the corruption of Joe Biden and his son? What's wrong with that? Why are you going to throw him out of office for asking for that? Everybody knows the fix was in with Hunter Biden. Everybody knows. Hunter Biden didn't even know how to get to the Ukraine, much less be on their board of governors at the Burisma Energy Company. That's stupid. But nobody wants that brought up, right? No, we can't talk about that. We have to talk about Donald Trump, not why he was doing what he was doing. I think we have our buddy, Mark Thornton. Is that who it is, Ed? Okay, well, let's go right to him. And Mark, thanks for joining us. I know you've been a little bit under the weather, buddy, but we appreciate you coming on. Mark is the guy, and I'm going to find my notes again, Mark, who's a senior fellow at the Ludwig von Mises Institute. We've had him on many times over the years. If you don't know about the Institute, they talk about Austrian economics, and we're going to talk a little bit about that with Mark. And we're going to talk about it in the context of Donald Trump and his economic situation and the way things are going here in the United States. Mark, welcome to Freedom Works.
Paul, it's great to be back on the air with you. I was under the weather this morning. My car was under the weather.
Oh, no.
So
you poor guy. It's not been a good January for you.
No, it's not, but I'm looking forward to a very happy rest of the year. 2020, clear vision.
Good for you. Good for you. Mark, you're a proponent, of course, of, and you're also, by the way, the editor of the Quarterly Journal of Austrian Economics. We should talk about that. You're situated in the beautiful town of Auburn, Alabama, which was my former town for several years, near Auburn University. And first of all, tell us a little bit, if you don't mind, before we get into the Trump relationship with economics and Austrian economics, tell us a little bit about what Austrian economics basically stand for.
Well, it's, you know, it's known as a free market economics, but it's really deductive logical economics. And it's been that way for, you know, 200 years. We're building on the classical school of economics, but we're fixing a lot of the mistakes of the classical school of economics, such as the labor theory of value. And, you know, Austrians view economic value is subjective, that is, based on what the individuals think.
Mm-hmm.
And we build upon that all the way up into macroeconomic issues such as the business cycle. And so it's a school of economic thought.
It is. It's kind of libertarian, isn't it? And it's in its thinking. Tell us a little bit about Ludwig von Mises himself, would you?
Well, it definitely is libertarian, and there are a lot of different types of libertarians who adhere to the Austrian school of economics. But Ludwig von Mises was one of the last great liberals of Europe.
Classical liberals.
Classical liberals.
Right.
That's right, Paul. And during World War II, the Nazis went into Austria, and they went directly to his apartment. He had already left. He'd gone to Switzerland and then to the United States, and he had several students here at New York University, one of which was Murray Rothbard. And so he sort of set the seed of the Austrian school and classical liberalism here in the United States post-World War II. And we are working here day to day in his name at the Mises Institute.
Indeed you
in
are.
Auburn, Alabama.
Indeed you are. Now, it looks like, for whatever reason, the economy in the country is doing quite well if we look at some of the major indicators, as in unemployment rate, which is low in virtually all of the different categories, stock market doing extremely well. There are some pockets of weakness in certain kinds of jobs, especially in the manufacturing area. But overall, different industries seem to be doing pretty well. Now, Donald Trump, I don't even know if he'd ever heard of Ludwig von Mises, but I wanted to see if there was any connection between what you consider Donald Trump's philosophy, whatever that might be, towards the economy, and the Austrian economic thoughts. Is there any way of connecting those two things?
Well, it's very hard to define Donald Trump's philosophy because he says so many different things about the same subject.
True.
But
he's got a business background, and he seems to apply that, correct, into his thinking when he's doing all of these different things.
That's correct. You know, he does give off the belief that he's a business person and that he's pro-business, and he knows that that's important to his success, where, you know, if you want to try to ferret it out, if you compare his philosophy, or what we might believe it to be, to some of the Democrats, it's clearly pro-business and anti-socialist. And the fact that he's cut the corporate tax rate, which is a great thing, and the fact that he's deregulated in so many areas, basically, you know, that is very much pro-business, and I think that's extended this boom for a couple of years or more. And so, in general, it's very, very positive. Now, the war with the trade wars with various countries, that's mostly a negative, and that's mostly pulling down parts of our economy, our agriculture, and other areas where we would be exporting more. And, you know, so that's mostly a negative. Now, if he can get some positive gains out of trade negotiations, that would offset some of those negatives, but that's clearly not it's kind of in the pro-business philosophy, but it's anti-free market.
Yes,
and
that's
very much a negative.
Yeah, and I was going to ask you, the Ludwig von Mises approach to trade is complete free trade no matter what, right? Pretty much.
That's right.
Okay.
You know, the Austrians are very much pro-free trade. We see the benefits of free trade within the United States, and we see the benefits of free trade with other countries. It's a mutual benefit to both parties.
Here's the rub, of course. What happens when one of the two that are trading starts to play games, as in dumping products and restricting the entry of products? You know, if China's dumping and at the same time, say, restricting or they themselves playing games with a tax or tariff on products from the United States coming into their country, how do you maintain that free trade philosophy?
Well, Paul, I love when companies dump products on me. So mm-hmm. I think that, you know, that's a very much a benefit to us.
True.
If other countries are, but it's the problem becomes when they're restricting trade. That's very much a problem. But when they're, you know, trying to facilitate or subsidize trade, that's still to our benefit, at least as consumers here in the United States.
Right, and that's been the argument of free traders. You know, we benefit from lower prices that way. And it's true. It's true. We, you know, all you have to do is go into a Walmart and find out all these products made overseas are cheaper than some of the products made here. And that's been the way it's been for quite a while. But then you get into the things about our products going over there, and that becomes a little, as you say, a little bit of a problem. So free trade never seems to be completely free trade, right?
There's always complications. There's no question about it. There's always special interest groups in both countries trying to gain one sort of advantage or another, and that's why unilateral free trade, where you're not competing at a political level, is often the best policy, because the other side knows that they can't finagle some kind of advantage politically.
Mm-hmm. What do you think about, by the way, we're talking with Mark Thornton. He is the senior fellow at the Ludwig von Mises Institute, and he's also the editor of, book review editor of the Quarterly Journal of Austrian Economics. What do you think, Mark, of the USMCA agreement, the Mexico-Canada-United States trade agreement? How does that comport, if I might ask, with, you know, with the Austrian economic philosophy?
Well, obviously I haven't read the agreement, but I think having an agreement and being agreeable is far better than having the angst that Trump created at the beginning. Mises was generally against trading blocks. Trading blocks can facilitate regional interest and provoke even war. So it's good to have, no question about it. We want to have free trade as much as possible, and this facilitates it.
Mm-hmm.
But regional trading blocks are really not the optimal solution. The optimal solution is to have free trade policy with everyone, not just a group of select economies, but the fact that we have these neighbors and we our economies are already very much integrated in terms of supply chains and so forth. It's very much a good thing, but the optimal thing would be a free trade policy with everyone across the globe.
So tell us a little bit about what's going on these days with the Ludwig von Mises Institute, just kind of to kind of update people on, you know, what you've been doing.
Well, we have, you know, we have a great website, mises.org, and we have several podcasts. We have one podcast for entrepreneurs who are interested in starting new businesses. We have one podcast specially devoted to historical controversies in American history.
Oh, really?
Yes. It's a great podcast. It's one of our summer fellows who is now working on his PhD, so they come out less regularly than they used to, but still it's a great backlog of historical controversies in the U.S. You can learn a heck of a lot. This guy knows American history like the back of your hand. And we have a podcast by our president, Jeff Deist, and he looks into currently into some deep issues in Austrian economic theory, and we even have a podcast devoted to the economics of healthcare. And so people should definitely tune in. It's almost like the biggest problem with our website is we have too much stuff.
You do,
For people. And, of course, we have daily articles covering all the, you know, the current topics in the world, and from an Austrian point of view. So if you have some questions, we've got some answers.
We've got some answers. And again, it's Mises.org, M-I-S-E-S.org.
Yes.
Okay. Perfect.
Absolutely.
All right. Mark, thank you so very much, my friend. Get healthy. Get healthy. Have a great 2020. I know we'll be talking down the road.
Absolutely, Paul. Thank you very much.
Our pleasure. All right, Mark Thornton, there you go. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we got a very anxious and excitable proprietor of the Barber Pole, Andrew Ceresi, and we're going to talk all things Donald Trump.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
The best barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They've got a beautiful new facility, but you'll still get the very best haircut from the very best hair cutters, and for a great price, too. Andrew's Master Barbershop is open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2 p.m. Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza, State Road 580 and Overcash Drive in Dunedin.
Don't miss the Craft Beer Hour every Wednesday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. We'll bring you up to speed on craft beer events and festivals, local breweries, and interview the brains behind the brews. So grab a pint and listen to the Craft Beer Hour every Wednesday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network, and visit the website, thecraftbeerhour.com.
Let's Go Bowling, heard on the Tantalk Radio Network every Wednesday, 11 a.m. to 12 Eastern Time, sponsored by 12 Strike and Innovative Ball Spinner. If you bowl, if you haven't bowled in a while, or if you never bowled, why not you be one of 65 million people who have bowled last year? Listen to the tip of the week, bowling stars old and new, Let's Go Bowling Show, gobowlingshow.com.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back on Freedom Works in the late January. Wow, it's the 29th already. Did anybody see that? I guess it was Saturday night. There was a CNN panel that's gone viral now, making fun of both Donald Trump and Republicans. Ed, I don't know if you happened to see that thing. But Don Lemon's show, he calls himself a journalist. He's a black opinionist, I think, and he hates Donald Trump. And I guess Lemon had a couple of people on. He had a never-Trumper by the name of Rick Wilson and a CNN contributor, Wajahat Ali. Well, anyway, they talked about the fact that Trump probably couldn't find Ukraine on a map, even if you had the letter U and a picture of an actual physical crane next to it. Well, that made Don Lemon start laughing his head off to the point where tears were coming out of his eyes. And this guy didn't stop there. He continued with a fake accent, this guy that made the joke, to mock all those who put Trump into office as unsophisticated backwoods hicks. And then he went into some sort of a southern accent. He said, Donald Trump's a smart one. Y'all lead us to dumb. You know, that kind of thing. So anyway, the show kind of went viral. I say all of that because we bring on the master barber in his barber pole, Andrew Ceresi. Andrew, what's going on here? Do you think that helps or hurts Donald Trump?
Well, anybody, are you talking about Don Lemon?
Yeah.
First of all, they said Donald Trump can't find the Ukraine on a map.
Right.
Give me a break. He found Soleimani, didn't he?
He did.
Okay. Come on, these people are nothing but fools. They don't pay attention to that.
All right. Did you happen to see that little thing, though, on the with Don Lemon?
Oh, I just saw a little bit of beef. Okay. You know, first of all, I don't even have that on my television to reject it.
I don't blame you. Just thought I would bring that up. Okay. So I brought this up a little earlier, Andrew. I don't know if you were listening. But as you know, Donald Trump has really lashed into John Bolton. He's basically emasculated him. Let me just give you a couple of things that he says. For a guy who could not get approved for the ambassador to the UN years ago, couldn't get approved for anything since, begged me for a non-Senate approved job, which I gave him, despite many saying, don't do it, sir. Takes the job, mistakenly says Libyan model on TV, and many more mistakes. Gets fired because, frankly, if I listened to him, we'd be in World War VI by now. Well,
we knew that ahead of time about him.
Exactly.
He was a warmonger.
Okay.
Okay. So why Trump shouldn't have. He shouldn't have hired him.
No, he shouldn't have. That's the point. Now,
now, the whole thing that's going on with him, look, he wrote a book. He's got a vendetta, just like Mitt Romney. You know, these guys are acting like little girls having a spat over a man or something. But anyway, none of this is going anywhere. Even if Bolton was to testify, it's not going to do any good because anything he's got to say isn't impeachable anyway.
Right. I agree.
We're just wasting time. Now,
right.
Now, you know, you got McCluskey, Romney, and Collins. And you know they're going to vote for the no witnesses. That's a bunch of crap. They're all going to vote Republican line when the vote comes.
Right.
I really believe that, okay?
Right.
I don't think there's any question about that. But I think they're holding off, you know, to keep Bernie Sanders out of Iowa.
Is that it?
Hey, you know, they all make political moves, don't they? Yes.
The Democrats don't want Bernie to be their nominee. So who do they want?
I don't know. You know, Hillary keeps talking.
You think that there's a place card, a place setting at the table for her?
But if they do, that'd be great. But it's a big mistake on their part. She's the most hated woman in the world. And then you got Biden talking about bringing in Michelle Obama as his vice president.
Yes.
It's beautiful.
That's sad.
Look at Barnum and Bailey's is getting ready to hire him, put another ring up in their circus.
You know, I'm beginning to think that Joe Biden will say or do anything to get elected. Anything.
Now, I'll tell you what, Paul, at this point, you know, do you see what Pam Bondi did to them the other day?
I liked the way she came across it. finally, somebody focused
That's
in.
Right.
Focused in. I don't know if you heard what I asked rhetorically earlier in the show. If the Obama administration can go overseas to get the goods on a presidential candidate, as they did getting the dossier on Donald Trump. Why can't the current administration go overseas to get the goods on a presidential candidate, as in
Joe? Oh, you're asking the same question everybody's been asking.
You know?
It's just, what's good for the goose should be good for the gander.
Why don't they? Obama gets glorified, Trump gets impeached.
That's right. It's a bunch of crap, Paul. People know this. That's why the Senate's going to dump this thing. But I think they're just playing with them to keep him out of Iowa.
Well, maybe you're right. But what about, you know Bernie Sanders, in fact, let me find this story. I think the betting odds now have Bernie. This is independent Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders has blown past Joe Biden, taking a commanding lead in the Real Clear Politics betting odds average. He is now in front. About 17 days ago, Biden was leading Sanders by nearly 10 points. And now Sanders leads Biden by almost 4 points. So can you imagine if a socialist becomes the Democratic nominee for president? I mean,
Paul, yeah, I understand what you're saying. And that shows just where the country's moving if they want to put him in there. You know that.
Yeah.
But the thing is, he's not going to go anywhere. No. I think the people are too riled up. You know, it's like I tell everybody, you got to realize Trump is not a Republican. He is not a Democrat. Trump is a movement, Paul.
Yeah.
And people better realize that. The Republicans better hold down, or they're going to be just like the Democrats.
Yeah, he's not like Mike Pence, his vice president, a conservative, in this case, evangelical Republican. I mean, Everybody knows that Donald Trump's kind of a populist. He gets along well with blue-collar Democrats. He gets along with them just as well as he gets along with capitalists, right?
That's right. Like I say, Paul, even the union, okay? The big union heads, they keep talking Democrats. You know, after history, they've been doing that.
Right.
However, I get a lot of union workers come to my barbershop. You know what they say? Trump.
I know, and that's my point. The union leaders who are beholden to the money, and the Democrats get involved with helping the unions get money. But the actual, the people themselves, they got their own mind. They're going to vote the way they want, and they tend to
They're making money, Paul.
Yeah.
They haven't made the money. The tradespeople haven't made the money they're making now in the last 15 years.
It would be interesting to see if any of these union leaders would endorse Donald Trump.
No, they couldn't. Their job would be on the line.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Their job. Oh, you know what? They'll look at the police unions. You think about it, the police union is all backing Donald Trump, the biggest union in the country. The biggest police union in the country is backing him.
Right. Right. No, you're right. Yeah.
So, like I say, it's a movement. I see a landslide in 2020, but we got to concentrate not on Trump. I mean, we got to keep pushing for him, but what we got to do is get the locals, the representatives, and the senators elected.
So do you think, first of all, let me ask you this, really put you on the spot. Do you think we're going to get witnesses, and how much longer is this trial going to last?
Paul, like I said, I think if there's a vote at the end of the week, I think it's going to be over with.
This Friday.
Yeah, I think they're supposed to vote on Friday, right? Friday or Saturday you're talking about?
Yeah, well, Okay.
Yeah, I think they're just going to say there's no need for the witnesses. Let's just get this thing over with and let's move on.
You think they can get the votes in the Senate then for sure?
Because I can't see McCluskey, Collins, and Romney holding back. They didn't hold back when it came to this whole thing. They voted straight party line.
Did you read where Dianne Feinstein, the Democratic senator?
Yeah. Well, she's about that.
I know. Yeah. I don't think so either. But she did say she was hedging her bet a little bit about convicting Trump.
Yeah, I know what she said, but I don't trust her as far as I could throw. You know, she might have had a big senior moment there. She's 83 years old, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. She's probably taken dementia medication and everything else. And she had a real moment, you know, and saw the light there for a second. But what's going to come out of it? Forget about it.
How come all of the Democratic leaders are, like, about ready for a nursing home? We got Chuck Schumer, Joe Biden, Elizabeth Warren, Dianne Feinstein. They're all, you know, way, way up there. What's going on here?
They better be careful because the young Democrats coming up don't want the old Democrats.
No, they don't.
Okay, and you know, again, term limits. They all need to go.
Yeah, you're right about that. My friend, thank you so very much. Always a pleasure. And let's see what happens between now and when we talk again on Friday.
I think it's all going to be gone, buddy.
Wow. You're an optimist, my friend. You're an optimist. Well,
I think they're afraid of Pam Bondi.
That's another one.
Yeah, they got a thing of Pam Bondi saying, "Where's Hunter?" She's looking for him.
He's looking for him. Well, you know, he's out in California. He's, he's living in some mansion. He's got a beautiful car.
Yeah.
He had been pleading, I don't know what you want to call it, not poverty, but...
Yeah, they better get used to it.
Mm-hmm.
I think times are about to change for the Biden family.
Yeah, I'm wondering about that. All right, my friend, we'll talk Friday.
All right, Paul, be good.
Thank you, bye-bye. Andrew. All right, there he goes. Andrew's the master barber, right? All right, let's take a real quick break. When we come back, the top 10 greatest NFL running backs.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
The best barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They've got a beautiful new facility, but you'll still get the very best haircut from the very best hair cutters, and for a great price, too. Andrew's Master Barbershop is open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2 p.m. Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza, State Road 580 and Overcash Drive in Dunedin.
Must see at least once in your lifetime, Shen Yun 2020, returning to the Mahaffey Theater, St. Petersburg, February 14 through 20. Shen Yun Performing Arts brings the 5,000 years of civilization to life on stage. Come and witness the majestic culture's return. Tickets at shenyun.com/FL or 888-974-3698.
Knockout Radio will broadcast from Radio Row and Super Bowl 54 all week. Tuesday, noon to 2, Wednesday, 2 to 4, and Thursday and Friday from 1 to 3. With a full guest list that includes UFC President Dana White, Bare Knuckle Fighting Championship President David Feldman, UFC Champion Kamaru Usman, Mark Pollock from GivingBack.org, Adam Richmond, and much, much more. You won't want to miss these shows, and we are always sponsored by 8 Man Strong and Staff Zone.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We are back for the final segment. And because Mark Thornton came on a little bit late, everything got pushed back a little bit. So we got a couple of minutes before we do our top 10, which I'm really excited about. These are the top 10 greatest running backs of all time. We'll have Big Ed figure out who's number one before we tell you. So, you know, the Super Bowl is coming up on Sunday. We're going to talk on Friday with Ed about who he thinks is going to win. But
We'll do predictions on Friday.
Yeah, we'll do predictions. I wanted, though, Ed just celebrated a birthday. Happy birthday, Ed.
Thanks.
And, Ed, tragic news, of course, with Kobe Bryant and his death, his daughter's death. I think there were a total of, what, 9 people on that helicopter. I mean, it's just a shock. I mean, the guy just, you know, a few years ago was, like, dominating.
Right.
The NBA, but I just wanted to get a thought or two from you about Kobe Bryant.
One of those things where you'll remember the rest of your life, where were you when you heard? And I was actually driving around doing some shopping, and I heard somebody on the radio, and I called, say something about that, and I called a couple of credible people, and they said, no, it is true. And, first it came out, it was just 5 people, and you know, that it was more than that. And was his wife on board because they couldn't find his wife? And it's just, you know, it's just pilot error. You know, I heard the recordings. There was fog and he was not cleared. The pilot was not cleared to be at that level, that altitude. And he was too low. And it's just a tragic thing.
You know, we lost a lot of great sports figures in air disasters.
Yeah.
Remember... let's see. Well, there was Thurman Munson.
Yeah. Remember that whole...
Roberto Clemente. Go ahead.
The whole college football team. Marshall.
The whole college football team.
Remember that?
Yeah.
I mean, I wasn't here for that, but I
heard of
it.
No, I know what you mean. Some consider the greatest boxer of all time, Rocky Marciano, was killed in a plane crash. Yeah. So it's the word is devastating, and even devastating isn't strong enough when you lose somebody at a young age like
that. And I was telling some people that, you know, guys like that work really, I mean, he's in the NBA, it was 20 years, and he worked really hard, whether you think it's a game or not, he worked really hard, so his kids will never have to work. And this is the time when he was supposed to enjoy the money in the family.
Yeah, that's absolutely right.
Makes it hard.
It does. Okay. Again, because we got the Super Bowl coming up, we're doing a kind of sports top tens these days. I hope you will indulge us. We've got from NFL.com, Ed, this is the top 10 greatest running backs of all time. So let's get to it. Number 10. O.J. Simpson. O.J., he's still running, isn't he?
From somebody.
O.J. Simpson is enshrined in the Pro Football Hall of Fame and a great running back, no question. Number 9, Tony Dorsett. Remember him with the Dallas Cowboys? Great running back.
You know, the Bucks traded that pick. They would have had him.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, boy. Another one. Another one got away. All right. Number 8, Earl Campbell.
Yeah, boy,
I always thought that guy was like a runaway locomotive. I wouldn't want to get in front
of
him.
He's in such horrible shape today.
Is he really?
Bad.
Is he?
Yeah. They had to bring him out on a golf cart.
Really?
For the Texas game, yeah.
Is it a weight part of the issue?
Well,
or what is it?
Yeah, a little bit. But, you know, his knees are shot. He can't walk.
Oh, I see.
He's shaking.
Yeah, that's what happens to so many of them, doesn't it? Okay, number 7. Barry Sanders.
Too low? Oh, I don't care. Barry Sanders is the greatest running back ever.
Your opinion. Yep. Okay. Well, he was great. There was no question about it. He played 9 years for the Detroit Lions, and he was voted to the Pro Bowl 10 times. Great running back. It was like you tried to reach for him, and he was gone.
Yep.
Number 6, Eric Dickerson. Remember him with the Los Angeles Rams?
Yeah. Went on to the Colts.
And then he went to the Colts. Yep. Then he went to the Raiders. Then he went to the Falcons. Mm-hmm. He was voted to the Pro Bowl 6 times. Great running back. Number 5, LaDainian Tomlinson.
Yeah. Okay.
What did you think of him?
Okay.
San Diego Chargers, Jets, made the NFL Most Valuable Player Award. Okay, number 4, Bo Jackson. He was an interesting guy, wasn't he?
Wow, this thing is way off.
I know you don't. You know what?
Bo Jackson didn't play that long. I mean,
he
just you know, and you can put him above Barry Sanders.
Well, for the time he was in the league, if you have to take away, you'll see this later. You have to take away length because some of these guys got knocked out of the box early because of injuries. Okay, but while they were there, right? How good were they? That's kind of the criteria. All right, number 3. Here is a case in point, Gale Sayers.
Yeah.
Now, Gale Sayers was...
Hey, he should be up there.
Yeah, well, he was great.
Yeah.
He scored 6 touchdowns in one game against, I think, San Francisco. All right. Number 2. Another Chicago Bear, Walter Payton.
Mm-hmm.
Walter Payton was not only a great runner, he was a great blocker, and he could catch a pass. He was a great pass catcher,
too. I think what you're going to say is the top guy... I believe it should be Barry Sanders, your guy, and then Walter Payton.
Yeah.
I'm surprised Emmett Smith's not in there either.
Yeah, you're right. Emmett Smith, I thought he might be in here.
Yeah.
All right, Ed, who do you think they picked here as number 1?
How do you spell Jim, Brown?
Roll the dice. Roll the drums.
Yeah, 30 seconds.
You are right. It is Jim Brown from 1957 to 65. He retired to go into the movies.
Yeah.
He was still in good shape. But I've never seen anybody dominate that position like he did during that era. No question about it. Stay tuned for the Craft Beer Hour with Kenny and Bill. It's coming right after the news. We'll be back on Friday. Remember, freedom works.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Day.